The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, as has been our custom at Maranatha Church, you are given a little bit of time to be sure that you are in fellowship. If your memory isn't that good, you can use generic rebound, which is simply, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Jesus teaching the disciples based on a question they ask him when they ask a good question, teach us how to pray. So let's take the usual time to prepare ourselves. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, since man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from your mouth, we've assembled ourselves together so that we can receive spiritual nourishment and orientation to this phenomenal plan that we are a part of. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, some of the details here at the top of the page three. We noted that there will be a gradual worldwide immigration from the nations, which is in full swing and will continue to heat up as time elapses. More and more Jews will find their way back to the land of promise. This worldwide outburst of anti-Semitism will fuel that. I read also that a lot of the young fellows that left Israel that were reservists, they're going back. A bunch of them from the United States, and getting back in uniform and doing what they need to do. It's in their genetics, and it's in their thinking that this war with the terrorists and the Jew haters, deluxe, the anti-Semites, is coming against Israel, little Israel, geographically speaking, coming against Israel from four different sides, not just one. It's coming from the Gaza. It's got while they're having this whole deal of exchanging hostages and everything, they're still firing an occasional rocket into Israel. And there are people that are so pathetic that they will defend the Hamas side. Imagine you living in a place where periodically, they aren't all that accurate, but they shoot these missiles in nonetheless, continual acts of war, individuals coming in there with guns and with bombs on their backs as martyrs, all this going on, and Israel's supposed to just sit there and take it? No. And they're trying to negotiate a peace, and we have our big nose in there, and others. There are many organizations that should be condemning this barbaric attack on Israel on the 7th of October. But they're getting the message out. It's just what people do with it. It's like anything. They're showing the atrocities that were committed by these brave, pun intended, brave Hamas soldiers that brutalized the infants on up the ladder to the old people. And then they're being attacked by Hezbollah. They're shooting rockets into northern Israel out of Lebanon. They're also having problems on the West Bank. And of course, Yemen shooting up occasional rockets out of that country. Just so you know what Israel is against. I would encourage you to pray for the Israeli military, that they will be blessed, that they will discover things and get it done. Because it is absolute evil that is going on. Now, of course, we, of course, approach it also from the standpoint of the plan of God for the chosen race. Now, of course, it isn't going to do a Jew any good if they're just a Jew. If they're just Jewish, dedicated Jewish, but they serve a purpose. A Jew will perish in the afterlife just as quick as an unbelieving Gentile. But still, the process that God has laid down through the prophets, that he would scatter them, and at the appropriate time, he would bring them back. And many Jews have come to Israel over the years as a result of the pressures that they have felt in the countries that they were living in. And they're feeling a bunch of pressure right now. Students in a high school in New York come after a Jewish teacher because she went to an event. School didn't sponsor it, but she went to an event that was a pro-Israel support event of her own free will. Because we do have a right to assemble and associate. We don't have a right to do violence to people. That's the establishment chain of command. They have the responsibility to deal with criminals. And the students, she had to lock herself in her room while they were beating on the door and everything. So how does she feel when she has to go to work tomorrow? It's just one example of a lot that's going on. And what kind of students do that? These aren't just Palestinian kids. These are just, you know, regular American kids. So this is going on around the world, this rise of anti-Semitism and this attack. And this again leads to this immigration from the nations. God is in control, and he's bringing his ancient people back to their homeland for the big show. And in the big show, these nations will align themselves against Israel, and God will deal with them. So we read this in Psalm 137. So anyway, this whole process, Israel is going to go through the most difficult and severe times she's ever gone through, the seven-year tribulation. But she's going to survive and come out on the other side perfect. That's only for those who turn to Jesus Christ. And that phenomena, the restoration, remember in our relook at the Valley of the Vision of the Dry Bones, the vision that Ezekiel had, that he's in a visionary situation where he sees a literal valley with all disconnected bones, and he hears them clanking together and coming together. This is the process we're well into, all the way up to the last stage. The stage that we're into now is the last thing this body was given was skin. Skin is an all-important organ to protect the body. We've heard expressions thick-skinned and so forth. If you have a scrape, your skin has to grow back. It's painful, but when it gets back, then it's fine. So that's the Jewish military. And God has been blessing them with technology and warfare tactics. They live all the time. We were there. It was not unusual to see people armed and in uniform. Trucks of them going up and down the road. We gave one of them, he was a hitchhiker. He had his M16, and he got in the back seat of our rent car. And I only had one, whether it was in, it was a tape. I only had one tape Dire Straits. And I'm playing that, and he's sitting in the back. I had very broken English. But we took him up the road and dropped him off at that southern city. You know, Shalom. And away we went. But we saw tanks, everything. And then regular vehicles and commercial stuff all over the place. So they have developed a new missile to intercept. They got to use it for the first time in a missile coming in to the southernmost city of Israel. And this person that wrote this said, me and my wife, we got to see the show. We got to see the missile come up and theirs go up there and take it out. They're developing something that's going to be even better than the Iron Dome. A lot less expensive to operate, to intercept missiles. So God is blessing them in this respect as of old, when Israel was blessed and ganged up on and had all these enemies through their history. See, this is all the angelic conflict and Satan both back then trying to stop the Jewish advance through history, and they advanced even in spite of their abject failures at times. As people are all involved in this debate, we can write above it because we have Bible doctrine. No, there are a lot of bad Jews in the world. There's some really corrupt people that I can name that are Jewish. So what? That doesn't change any of this dynamic that God is bringing Israel back. He deals with the corrupt people regardless of their race. But so when they try to argue, well, the Jews did this and pulled this stunt, and let's say it's true. As far as this whole scenario goes on, so what? They do not understand that this period of unbelief on the part of the worldwide Jews is going to change. And it's going to change dramatically and fast with a lot of converts coming on board. You add that dynamic and doctrine and understanding into the Jews, and you get to see something else coming down. There's a verse in the Old Testament that the Jews in the first half of the tribulation that live in Israel, now those that are still scattered, God will get them back after the second advent. He's going to bring every surviving member of the human race back there and stand before him. Matthew 25, the goats and the sheep. The surviving unbelievers, goats, the surviving believers, sheep. Put them on each side. The Jews will have a separate judgment. So the Jews that are believers in the first half, they get a break, if you will. They get to flee to sanctuaries. I think there's two or three of them specified, where they will be absolutely, if they can make this application, just stay put. Don't come out. We read it. Don't be lured out. Don't be stupid. You got the Bible. They're going to look at the New Testament real seriously, and their eyes are going to be open to the Old Testament and see all this. Now they're somewhat blind. They don't see that this is going to work out for good only for those who turn to Jesus Christ and embrace Him as their Savior. So continue to pray for Israel during this time and all the different types of attacks, military, diplomatic, whatever they are, that's out there. I showed the one deal, they showed a picture of some of these top Hamas types that are living the high life in Qatar. So these places you've never even heard of. So these people are out here marching. They couldn't find this on a map if they had to. They're so stupid. But these big honchos were in Qatar. And one of the Jewish top military types, he said, you know what they are? They're walking dead men. In other words, we're going to go after them. We're going to bring them down. We know who they are. And we got our ways. You want to play hardball? We'll play hardball. These people are, they make no bones about it. Their joy is to kill Jews. They don't care whether they have a uniform on or not. So this attack has brought us to this particular point. Following the Jews in the second half, and this verse slipped my mind too. You can run it down. I can't cite the citation right now. It's in one of the minor prophets, I believe. The Jews in the first half, living in Israel, will flee to these mountain fortresses. God's got them this safe zone to get into. And anybody that goes after them will be wiped out. They're safe. Their kids, everybody. They're safe. Just when the word comes, and the sign is, when they have this big ceremony and put this AI of Alexander the Great in the temple yet to be built, flee. Don't stop for anything. Get in your car, get wherever you got to get, and get there. And I think they might even be supernaturally airlifted into these places. It's this narrow window that they'll be given. While everybody's going crazy, the unbelieving Jews are bringing this Antichrist figure in, this AI that you can read all about in 13. The Jews in the second half, first half flee. The second half, who come around after the fact, fight. And there was a verse in the Old Testament that says, I will make the weak man among you like David, and I'll make the strong man like God. So we'll just have to see how that plays out. And they will fight. And when their backs are against the wall, the Mount of Olives will split like the Red Sea did, and they'll go through it to safety, and then the Savior will come out of the heavens with a shout and decimate all the millions of soldiers that it's hard to wrap your head around that would be brought into the Middle East. All the kings of the East. Those are huge armies. They're all going to try to destroy Israel, and it will be their death. It's just like today. Scripture is clear. You don't want to listen to it. You don't want to pay attention to it. You want to pick and choose or reject all of it. Well, then you can deal with the consequences. Following the judgment of the nations and the judgment of Israel, the millennium will begin. And Christ will rule over them when the restoration cycles are totally complete. Ezekiel 34. You can read these chapters on your own. I encourage you to do so. Very encouraging. I know coming up on doctrine, and I'm not bad-mouthing that. That got me out of, as I said, the swamp, the fundamentalist swamp. I never heard this explained. It isn't just some hidden verse somewhere. It is extensive. God would scatter them among the nations as punishment for their sin in the land. Then he will restore them, and the process, the pre-rapture phase of it, they'll be in unbelief. The post-rapture phase, they will, a huge percentage of worldwide Jews will turn to Christ. And as you know, the great majority of them are in these United States. They came here back in the day as a result of persecution in other lands. And they made their way here and made a home here. For thus says the Lord God. This is like a statement. This is like a statement of. This comes from God. It is a statement that he ties himself to. Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. See, a shepherd never scatters his sheep. But this shepherd did. He scattered them among the nations. He is their shepherd. Just as Jesus Christ is our shepherd, I'm a shepherd, but I am an under-shepherd under the shepherd, Jesus Christ. And we are the sheep of his spiritual pasture. And seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep. Things can happen out there with a regular shepherd, like King David was in his youth. He took care of his father's flock. He was doing this as a responsible 12-year-old kid. He honed his skills out there in the lonely, no cell phones, no bunch of companions, no chasing girls, whatever. He's the son that was put out with the sheep. He had six other brothers. They all went in the military, I guess. You know. But he's the one that had that drive and that kind of positive volition. Plus, he was gifted with the genetics to be a warrior athlete. He boasts about it in one of the Psalms. God has given me the strength of legs to do and leap over whatever it was. Just real nimble and strong and skilled. God blessed him because that was his line of work. Killing people and leading men into combat. When he got to be about 60, he still was wanting to do it. And his younger men were saying, hey, we can take care of it. We don't want you out there, okay? No offense. We know you have the zeal between your ears, but you don't, you know, to be respectful, you don't have that. We'll take care of it. God gathered around him some phenomenal warriors in a cave as he was coming up spiritually. And he is having to deal with Israel's enemies, plus Saul, who is out to kill him, King Saul. Instead of congratulating him for being such a good warrior. So I'm sure that David, as a young shepherd, had events where his sheep were spooked. And when sheep are spooked, I lived on a ranch with them, South Dakota. When they get spooked, they kind of just lose their minds and run all kinds of directions. Okay? They don't, you know, that's what they do. And so usually it would be a predator or something like this that would spook them. And David became dead on shot with a slingshot. I told you, I saw these guys in Spain. They had a contest, a target, and they had these slingshots. Whoosh, 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 bam, they'd hit those things. Dead on. So any kind of predator that came up, David could nail him from a good distance. And I will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. When they were scattered in 70 AD, it was a cloudy, gloomy, depressing day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. This is as fresh as when it was written. And he's looking clear down to the end game. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. In other words, what'd they take their sheep out for the daytime for? So they could graze and get nice and fat and healthy. So Israel is going to live in this land like sheep who are in a perfect environment when they would go out for the day excursion for grazing. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down on good grazing ground. You got to relate this to humans prospering in an economy, an agricultural economy, and all the adjacent things related thereto. And feed them in rich pastures on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. Now you could take that to refer to food, but it's probably doctrine. And I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong. This is an interesting verse. These are the Jews that have power, maybe a significant amount of money, and are not with the program. I will destroy. So there's some Jews that are going to go down, like those that make this pact with the Antichrist, of all things. I'll feed them with judgment. So, and then it goes into it, as for you, my flock, thus says the Lord, behold, I will judge between one sheep and another, between the rams and the male goats. Jews being ruled by Jews can be oppressed within their own country, just as we are today in various ways. You may not feel it because you got a good income and nice details of life and certain freedoms to do this and that. But there is oppression. There is oppression. In the economic capital of the world, there's economic oppression due to the monetary system that we have in this country and all that's related thereto. And the fat cats who profit from this, and the general people who suffer because the cost of living continues to rise and the debt continues to rise. All this is because of the mismanagement of our leaders, and not just the current ones. They're just extending this thing. So, as for my flock, this is not millennial. They must eat what you tread down with your feet. They get this left over. And drink what you fall with your feet, water. Sheep go up to the water. These others get the water all muddy and dirty, and the others can come up and drink it. That's an analogy to what the average Jewish person in Israel suffers under, and will continue to until these people are removed. So he'll judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with side and with shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns until you have scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will deliver my flock, and they will no longer be a prey, and I will judge between one sheep and another. Then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. This is a reference to the Messiah in this instance, as I think it is. And he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is the way it's going to be. It's the way it's going to turn out. So I will make a covenant of peace with them and eliminate harmful beasts from the land, so that they may live securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. This is analogy to sheep being out in there where these wild animals are. The wild animals, humans, are eliminated. And I will make them and the places around my hill, that's Mount Zion, a blessing. And I will cause showers to come down in their season. They will be showers of blessings. And then it's the trees will bear their fruit. The earth will yield its increase. And they'll be secure on their land. They're not now. This awaits the coming of the Lord. So all who have tried to enslave and destroy Israel will be taken care of. And this is reflected in many places in the Old Testament to their final happy situation. Also, as we noted in that great chapter, Ezekiel 36, that you, O mountains of Israel, will put forth your branches, bear your fruit for my people Israel, for they will soon come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you will be cultivated and sown. I will multiply men on you, all the house of Israel, all of it. And the cities will be inhabited, and the waste places will be rebuilt. I will multiply on you man and beast, and they will increase and be fruitful, and I will cause you to be inhabited as you were formerly, and will treat you better than at the first. Thus you will know that I am the Lord. You'll get a lesson that I stick by my word and plan. Oh, point G, Israel will not be threatened by the calamities of her past. That will no longer be the case. She'll be free from this forever. During the course of human history, and then, of course, on into the eternal state. But for now, Ezekiel 31, Jeremiah 31, 12, okay, no, I'm in the wrong book, sorry. The Lord has ransomed Jacob and delivered him from the hand of him who is stronger than he. They will come and shout for joy on the height of Zion, and they will be radiant over the bounty of the Lord, over the grain, over the new wine, the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. So it'll be real agricultural. And their life will be like a watered garden, and they will never again languish. Then the virgin will rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them and give them joy for their sorrow. I will fill the soul of the priest with abundance. My people will be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord. All right. So Israel will not be threatened by the calamities of her past. H includes the restoration of the northern and southern kingdoms into one nation. Israel split into two nations after the death of Solomon. The northern kingdom, the northern tribes, and the southern kingdom. And Jeremiah 33 through 11 makes that clear. What happened then will be set aside. For behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will restore the fortunes of my people, Israel and Judah. The northern kingdom was called Israel. The southern kingdom was called Judah, as you probably know. The Lord says, I will bring them back to the land, and I will give to their forefathers that I gave to their forefathers, and they shall possess it. That land is theirs by divine decree. Again, only believers ultimately benefit from this. Now these are the words the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, I have heard the sound of terror, of dread, and there is no peace. Ask now and see if a male can give birth. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in childbirth? And why have all faces turned pale? Alas, for the day is great. There's none like it. This is the trib. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble or distress. But he'll be saved from it. It shall come about on that day, declares the Lord, that I will break the yoke from off their neck, and I will tear off their bonds, and strangers will no longer make them their slaves. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, declares the Lord. Jacob is a word for the patriarch, and it's a term for the totality of Israel. And do not be ashamed, O Israel. You remember Jacob got a new name. His given name was Jacob by his parents. And at the wrestling match on the stream there that night, he gets another name, Israel, which word means in the Hebrew, Prince of God. And, of course, the name, both of them, attaches to Israel, to the people. And he's the father of the 12 tribes. And your offspring from the land of their captivity. And Jacob will return and be quiet and be at ease. And no one will make him afraid. For I am with you, declares the Lord, to save you. For I will destroy completely all the nations where I've scattered you. That sounds pretty severe, doesn't it? He's going to break down all the nations on the earth during the tribulation. One thing that's going to happen to every nation, name any national capital, it's going to be leveled with an earthquake. Paris, Berlin, and on it goes. They're all going to be torn down. These nations are going to have to start completely over. They're going to be broken down. Only I will not destroy you completely, but I will chasten you justly and will by no means leave you unpunished. You mess up, you're going to get hammered. So God isn't just, you know, he takes all this into consideration. So they will be one nation under God. And again, Israel is back to stay. All right, 16, phases of the final restoration quickly. Pre-rapture phase, establishment of the Jewish homeland for the first time since 70 AD, and worldwide immigration back to Israel, 1948 to the Second Advent. And I put a date in there, but I don't know. Obviously now I have to back off on all that, but I'm still working on it. I'm praying about it. Sorry if I got your hopes up and you are still here. Live with it, I guess. Tribulational phase, immigration continues, especially from the U.S. The spiritual phase begins. The period ends with the state of Israel surrounded by the nations. They'll all gang up on her. And they've got a warrior. They got a secret weapon. And that's Jesus Christ, who is the God of history, who is bringing this along. It may look real bleak at times, but it is, everything is where it needs to be. There is a command for everybody to leave the United States following the rapture. This will be an announcement made by an angel, along with two other announcements of great import to the benefit of humanity, if they want to line up with it. Away from the midst of Babylon, and go forth from the land of the Chaldeans. All right? In other words, get out of prophetic Babylon. Again, code words. Chaldeans is the land of the Anglo-Saxons. I mean, they don't like that today. They don't want to say it. But that's just history. The 13 colonies, British. That's Anglo-Saxon, last time I checked. And of course, people have come to this country from all the other countries over the years in immigration. And we got a bunch of people here that have no business being here. But that's because of corrupt leaders and an attack to take this nation down by invading and now they're squawking in these cities about all these homeless immigrants. Well, they should have stood up against it. We did back in the Eisenhower administration. We made it very clear, and they turned right around and went right back down into South America. We had more sense then. Now, there is this mentality with regard to this type of thing. Go forth from the land of the Chaldeans. Be also like male goats at the head of the flock. Goats are a different creature, but they interact with sheep and they can lead them. I think God's going to raise up certain Jews that have the money, have the means, have the moxie, and they're going to help the average Jew get out of here. He's going to work it out, just like he worked it out of getting them up out of Egypt. But remember, we saw that verse, that no longer are you going to be preoccupied with coming out of the land of Egypt, this seminal event in their history that led to nationhood and eventually occupation of the promised land. This time, it's going to be all the more dramatic. And the reason you need to get out of here is, behold, now you've got to realize, and of course I'll probably be literate, saying this too much, but you have to realize the Bible has to be interpreted back then before they understood the kind of technologies that we would have later, like thermonuclear missiles. So back when this was written, Russia, all that was a horde of different broken up peoples that came together to be eventually what we call the nation of Russia. They weren't all Russian like all they are today. There's a history of all these different groups up there, these Gentiles up there, that finally developed this nation called Russia. But at the time of writing, I'm going to arouse and bring up against Babylon a horde of great nations from the land of the north, and they will draw their battle lines against her. From there, this is what's weird. I mean, it would be weird. From there, they don't have to get face to face with them, as in ancient warfare, where arrows were used and armies were in front of each other, facing each other. They will draw up their battle lines against her. From there, she will be taken captive. Their arrows will be like an expert warrior. Okay? And that is the Russian technology factor with their thermonuclear weapons. While we've played around all this stupidity, and ours are antiquated. That's what I've been reading. Unless we got some secret one out there I don't even knows about. The old Minutemen and all that stuff, they were fine for back in the day, but they're not anymore. They're virtually obsolete. Who does not return empty-handed, Chaldea will become plunder, and all who plunder her will have enough. Again, unconventional plunder. You know the other example in the Bible, pop quiz, of unconventional plunder? Plunder is usually something taken by force as a result of defeating an enemy. And the soldiers go in there and plunder, if they're allowed to. They do it anyway. They ransack places, take these goodies out. It's called plunder. The wealth of the nation they conquered. Do you know the other example of unconventional plunder? The Jews walking out of Egypt with Egyptian wealth. All they had to do was ask for it. It's still plunder. It's a war. And they had been brought to their knees, and if you will just leave. Anyway, the second advent phase, Jesus Christ delivers the nation and gathers all believing Jews into the land. Millennial phase, the whole house of Israel, we've read this, dwells safely in the land under the new covenant. And there is another covenant, the new covenant to Israel. It doesn't supersede any of the other covenants. It's just an add-on, the new covenant. And it's unconditional, like the Abrahamic covenant. Historical markers, 1948, Ben-Gurion proclaims the state of Israel based on a UN vote, and five Arab nations invade Israel. And they do it on a Jewish holiday. 1950, the Knesset passes a law of return. 48,000 Jews airlifted from Yemen. Yemen's back in the news. New immigrants from 70 nations. 67, six-day war. They get attacked by Jordan. That's the West Bank, in which Israel takes control of Jerusalem for the first time from 70 AD to 1967. They get it. 1980, the Jewish Knesset declares Jerusalem the capital of Israel. E, Israel attacked October 7th by Hamas, 2023. October. It's a big deal. It was the day right after the conclusion of the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkoth. Rapture and the beginning of the seven-year tribulation. I put question marks. Midpoint of the trib. That all depends on the date of the rapture event itself, the second advent. And we don't need to go over this one, so we can conclude this evening. The vision of the valley of the dry bones of Ezekiel 37 presents the physical and the spiritual phases of the restoration of redeemed Israel. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.